The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Stranger things, everyone wants more. All we can do is wait for season four. I thought in the meantime that it might be fun to read every comic and book in what I call the Stranger Danger Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club. Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club.
Look, I told you, I am a slow reader, okay? It's been like a month since you've last heard from me, but I can say that last night I just finished reading the first official Stranger Things novel from 2019. I read Stranger Things, Suspicious Mind, by Gwenda Bond. Now, you people might know who Gwenda Bond is if you skew a little younger than me and you read young adult and children's fiction. Who am I kidding? I do too. But I'm just going to read a quick thing about the author. This is listed on Amazon. Gwenda Bond writes YA and children's fiction, among other things. Her novels include the Lois Lane series. So there's a novel of books where the protagonist is Lois Lane, and I'm just hearing about this now. So her novels include the Lois Lane series, Fallout, Double Down, and Triple Threat, which bring the iconic comic book character front and center. And the Cirque American series, Girl on a Wire, Girl Over Paris, Girl in the Shadows, about daredevil heroines who discover magic and mystery lurking under the big top. Ooh. Well, I can tell you that she is a very good writer, and it took me a second to get into her writing. Like, I was reading, so before this, I think I read, well, I read this author named R.A. Salvatore, who does a lot of Dungeons and Dragons writing. I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. I know very little about it, but I've read just about every book he's done. I'm a few behind, but I've read like over 50. Discovered him because he went to the same college that my wife and I attended, and she had to go see him speak for her English class, so I tagged along, and I became the fanboy. That being said, I read that. I think I read Harry Potter, Chamber of Secrets again. Then I went back to read R.A. Salvatore. Then I went and read Jaws. And then I switched. I read The Other Side, the comic book. And then I switched to this. So it was a little different style of writing that just took me for a few minutes. I'm like, wait, what is... Just the way... the style of writing is different. And but once I got into it, once I got used to it, because I'm an old man and a slow writer and I don't have the greatest literacy level. I don't know. Is that a word? I have no idea. But once I got into it, my goodness, did I get into this. Now I'm trying to decide how much should I go into the book. Should I go into it assuming you read it and just kind of talk about everything? Or should I hold off in hopes that you will read it? Now, I did talk about this in the last episode, so if you were planning on reading it, I gave you more than enough time, because I'm going to go on a limb and say you read faster than I do. Not that I'm like a bad reader, it's just that I'll read 5 pages, and then I'll fall asleep, and then I'll read 5 pages. What I've been doing the last few nights is going in the backyard. I got my little tablet. I put on a little fire. I sit there with my doggy, and she sits on my lap, and I lean the book up against her back, and I read. And it was great. I'm trying to think, and I think what I'm going to do is tell you exactly what I'm going to do right after we hear from today's sponsor. Yeah, I'm just going to do my best and to talk about everything in this book. So if you haven't read it and you want to read it, I think now would be a good time to stop, go read the book, then come back and if you want, and listen to just the amazing, amazing things that I am going to say about this book. It's top-notch, top-notch stuff. When I read the synopsis for this book, this is on, again, on the Amazon page. I'm going to read a little bit of it. It's the summer of 1969, and the shock of conflict reverberates through the youth of America. As a student at a quiet college campus in the heartland of Indiana, Terry Ives couldn't be farther from the front lines of Vietnam or the protests in Washington. But the world is changing, and Terry isn't content to watch. When word gets around about an important government experiment in the small town of Hawkins, she signs on as a test subject for the project, codename MK Ultra. The remote lab deep in the woods contains a mystery Terry is determined to uncover. Behind the walls of Hawkins National Laboratory, in the piercing gaze of its director, Dr. Martin Brenner, lurks a conspiracy greater than Terry could have ever imagined. To face it, she'll need the help of her fellow test subjects, including a young girl with unexplainable superhuman powers and a number instead of a name. 8. Amid the rising tensions of the new decade, Terry Ives and Martin Brenner have begun a different kind of war, one where the human mind is the battlefield. Well, there you have it. Yes, this is a prequel to the Stranger Things world we know about. It is set mainly in the year 1969 and 1970. There is the backdrop of the Vietnam War, and we get a glimpse of what we know now as Stranger Things. We kind of get filler to the story that we learned more about in season two, really, right? It was mostly in season two that we learned about Terry Ives and about Eight. And I need to tell you something. This is how bad I am. I do a Stranger Things podcast. I've watched every episode multiple times. And it wasn't until about last night that I was like, wait a second, Eight. Oh my God, it's Eight. It's Callie, Eight from season two. Yeah, yeah. Remember the episode where Eleven runs off and what's it, The Lost Sister, I think it's called? You think I'd be an expert at these things. Yeah, and I go, I'm so stupid that I read most of this book and I was like they weren't revealing, it wasn't like some major reveal, this is the girl. I mean, they told you right away, they referred to as Eight, her name was Callie. What more did I need to know? I was like, I am such a dum-dum. But it just kind of made it even, when I figured it out, which it wasn't anything to figure out, they told you. When I realized it, it was like, it made it feel like it, I don't know, it just gave it more grounding in this being the world of Stranger Things. Now, this is 1969, 1970, and it's Eleven's mom as a college student, and we kind of learn all about her. Her sister Becky is in it a bit, but she's in college, she has a boyfriend. It's kind of like, I do like the way they circle around major things happening in the world. They talk about the moon landing, they talk about Vietnam. These things are going on while this small story of these college students partaking in an experiment at a lab goes on for us. So now, mind you, I didn't take any notes. I'm going all off memory, and I've read this book over a month, which really is too long for a book. But I rediscovered video games, and I also watch copious amounts of television, which, again, I wouldn't be here if there wasn't television. So, you know, it gives and it takes. But I'm going to go through everything I remember about this book. So Terry Ives is a young college student. She has an older sister. Her parents both died in a car accident. Something that she is still struggles to get over. She wants to do more in the world. She likes the idea of being part of something bigger. She finds that her college roommate was doing some sort of like lab experiment kind of to get paid. I think it was like $15. And she, her roommate was like, I didn't like it. It was too weird. I'm not going back. And she's like, well, I'll go back in your place. And it was just like, a lot of this book, you just felt like the doom was coming, because, you know, this is your hero. This is who you're rooting for. And yet you as the reader, you know the outcome. You know what's going to happen. And it's just like that part is a bit of a gut punch, because even when you're like, oh, yes, they did. Yeah, that is a bit of a gut punch when you know the, not the outcome, but the ultimate finality of certain characters. It is slightly depressing. So she's got a boyfriend who's also in college, and you know they're all against the war. She goes to this she goes to sign up for this experiment. And it turns out that it's not at their college campus. They get in this black van. They drive out to Hawkins, Indiana to go to this laboratory. They were like, I didn't even know there was a laboratory in Hawkins. Like, they didn't really know much about Hawkins. She gets discovered early on that she's not her roommate, but she's like, I thought I'd really help. I thought I would like to be part of this. And they let her stay because I felt like she had a good reaction to like the first test they were doing. So it was her. Then there were three other people that she kind of became their group of friends. There was Alice. Oh my God. Alice Johnson, who was a tomboyish kind of girl. She didn't go to the college. She thought it'd be something interesting. She loves machines. She works for her family doing car repair and building cars. She's a big car person. And she signed up. Then there was Gloria Flowers, who was a young woman who goes to the college and her family owns a flower shop called Flowers, Flowers and Gifts. I forget why she wanted to join, but she's like a biology science major. I think she wanted to expand her knowledge. Then there was this guy, Ken, who said, oh, I just am supposed to be here because he's psychic. And this was the whole running gag of, not even running gag, but like the running story of Ken, that he was psychic. No one really believed him, but it wasn't like he predicted things. It was like he sensed things. He was like, oh, you know, like he'd have good or bad feelings about things. And it got to the point where everything he said, like if he said, oh, no, I think I don't have a bad feeling about that. Or I believed. Like it just got to the point where I'm like, this guy knows what he's talking about. I believe him. So they go to this laboratory and they start bonding and they start realizing that these tests are a little weird because they're trying different things. Like they're testing you with LSD. They're giving you, is it LSD, right? Acid? Is that the same thing? I don't know. But they're giving you acid. You know, they put these little tablet of acid on a piece of paper, put it on your tongue. Everything I know about acid is from TV shows and movies. To be perfectly honest, I've never done any illegal drug in my life. I am drinking right now a diet ginger ale, though. So, I do know how to live on the edge. Wait a minute, hold on. Ah, delicious. So they're testing their limits with, they're giving them LSD and they're testing out different things. So one girl, Alice, they give her electroshock therapy. Terry Ives, they start doing her, like she gets put into one of those sensory deprivation tanks that we saw Eleven get put into. The guy Ken, I really don't remember what he did. And it's funny, he had the psychic ability, but Dr. Brenner, oh, and did I mention Dr. Brenner's running all of this? Younger Dr. Brenner. But we don't really know. Dr. Brenner kind of doesn't really pay much attention to Ken, which you feel like he should have based on his cognitive ability, if it is what it is. So what they're doing is, and if you look up MKUltra, it is a real thing. And I didn't look it up or research it. I'm going strictly by this book. But what they're doing is trying to expand, see the powers of the mind, basically to try to create advantages in warfare, right? Probably to do with the Vietnam War or the Russians. This is 1969, 1970. And they kept on doing it for years and years to come. So along the way, Terry Ives, we see her she goes into, not the upside down, but she goes into the void. And they call it the void in this book, which I think that's what I've been referring to it as. And I'm not sure if the TV show ever called it that, but I thought that was pretty cool. You know, they explain like walking, like your feet are touching wet, but you're not in, it's all black. And she, sometimes she's able to, Terry Ives was able to kind of like go back into dreams of her life and relive them while talking to Dr. Brenner. Dr. Brenner could see potential in her, and he actually helped her to no longer feel sad about her parents, like remember them, but no longer feel helpless or sad about them. Dr. Brenner, I felt like, saw so much potential in Terry Ives that he didn't even see the potential that he had in Alice. And I think, like, I guess because Terry could connect to that upside, to the void, she could find things. That's what they want her to do. And it makes sense when you see what Eleven could do. But the real interesting thing for me is what Alice could do. Now, while these four people are being tested, we also find out that there's a young girl who's being tested on as well, or we don't really see her being tested on, but she's there as well. She calls Dr. Brenner Papa, and he refers to her as number 8. At one point, Terry Ives kind of looks, you know, goes and walks around the hospital, and she finds this girl, and that's when things start to take a turn for her, because she's like, what is this place? What is going on here? They never answer any questions. And it's like, why are they testing on children here? And Dr. Brenner, you know, excuse me if I'm rambling all over the place, but this is just how I'm remembering it as I go. Dr. Brenner at one point is, you know, realizing that he could say, you know, you're not going to feel any sorrow or pain about your parents anymore. You can remember them and love them, but take that pain away and you're going to forget we had this conversation. So she realizes that she is, or he realizes that she's susceptible to hypnosis in a way, or suggestion or whatever. At one point, she doesn't take her acid because she's kind of freaking out that she's taking this acid, this LSD every day. And he, you know, she pretends to be under. And Dr. Brenner says, I want you to take this listening device and I want you to install it on Gloria's family phone. So he is now seeing if he could use the power of suggestion to get a person to do something that he, you know, like something dangerous as far as planting a bug. I don't, like, if you think of, like, why does he care about the listening device there? Part of it is, I think he just wants to see if it works. And I think part of it too is he, you could see early on, he wants complete control over some of these people, except Ken. He just never really cares about Ken or Alice really that much. He doesn't put as much thought into Alice. And again, I think that's wrong. So they're starting to all kind of freak out. Why is there a kid here? What is going on? And we come to find out that the kid has powers and she can create illusions. Again, that should have been a real tip off that this was the same young woman from the Lost Sister episode, What is Wrong with Me? And again, I'm jumping all over the place. I keep talking about Alice Johnson's powers or what happens when she gets electroshock therapy. She starts to have these weird dreams and she starts to talk about these weird dreams and how it looks like here, but it's different. How it looks like here, but it's darker and there's weird like streams of things flying through the air. And there's weird sunflowers. There's these sunflowers swaying and dancing, but they're not sunflowers. And it wasn't until that moment that I realized that the shocks are sending her mind, at least, to the upside down. And those sunflowers that she thought she were sunflowers, if you think about the sunflower head, think about it with the petals and the thing in the middle, whatever that's called. I don't know what the middle of a flower is called. Wait a minute, there's the petal, there's the stem, and then there's the thing in the middle. I've lost my mind. But it wasn't a sunflower she was seeing. It was the Demogorgon. Think about those heads. And then she starts realizing, or she thinks she sees monsters. At one point, she sees a girl throwing these guards around. And she's like, there must be other girls here. And they're like freaking out. Their big thing is, or Terry Ives' big thing is, I can't believe there are children here. But at one point, she starts to put up kind of a fight, or she starts talking about her boyfriend. And it's like Dr. Brenner has such a, he wants such a stranglehold on this woman that he sees this potential in, that he doesn't want any distraction. So what does he do? Well, during one night at the college, her boyfriend protests this get together, this like news conference. They're watching this like Nixon thing on the war and how they were staying in Vietnam. And her boyfriend's one of these protesters who come in masks and you know, just disrupt things. They spend a night in jail, and the other kids kind of get off with a slap. And Dr. Brenner apparently made some calls and did something about it, because all of a sudden this boyfriend got kicked out of school. And then all of a sudden this boyfriend gets drafted into Vietnam. So, you know, there's a little bit of like, really, this he's going to go this far. But we've seen in Stranger Things how far they'll go to cover things up and keep their research going. So getting rid of one guy, who cares? Big deal. Now, at one point, it comes to find out that the reason the book is called Suspicious Minds is because these four young people have suspicious minds. And it's not even just like the song I played, Elvis Presley at the beginning, Suspicious Minds. What a great song. It's not just a clever title. The song is in the book. At one point, she's driving to meet her friends, and the song is playing in the car. Again, I'm sure I'm missing stuff and I'm all over the place, but I'm going all on memory, folks. No notes here, which is very different from our regular episodes. So we come to find out that he is going to get drafted, and he is going to go off, and they're all sad, and he's getting along with all the friends. They're all becoming like good friends. They're all kind of working together to figure out what the hell, who is this Dr. Brenner? They go to the library. They can't find anything about him. They try to look him up. They can't find anything on him. Meanwhile, one of the girls is thinking about, then they start running tests because Terry goes over to Gloria's house and says, look, he wants me to install this bug on you. She's like, why? He's, I don't know. She goes, well, let's install it. There's really, my family just runs a gift store. There's nothing for us to hide. Let's install it so he's not suspicious of us. And he thinks you did what you did. So they played one on him. They install the bug, and you know, the Gloria girl wants to see, you know, how much power, how much of a hold does he want on us. So she starts just saying to her parents, she's thinking about transferring, she's thinking about going to California at home. And all of a sudden, Dr. Brenner shows up for dinner, and he just talks about how important things are and how important it is for them to stay. And basically, Alice was there and Gloria was there, and he just intimidates them with his Dr. Brenner way. He shows up there. He gets Terry's boyfriend drafted. Now, before they leave. Before he leaves and gets shipped off, he actually, the Ken, it was, there's some weird things where Ken is the psychic and he tells Andrew, you know, I think it'd be best if you broke up with her. And they technically broke up, but they never really broke up. I mean, they were still in love. It was more like technically we're broken up, but we still love each other and I'll wait for you. And she doesn't realize this yet, but she's like, you know, she realizes her pants don't fit like they used to. And she doesn't feel as good as they used to. Or she doesn't feel as good recently. But Dr. Brenner, because they, while they're doing all this, they take regular blood work. He looks at her blood work and goes, interesting. And you realize it before Terry realizes that she's pregnant. She's pregnant with Andrew's child. And she needs to tell him. And she calls her family, his family, to say, can you please have him call me as quickly as you can? And terrible, terrible news, but her boyfriend is killed in Vietnam. So what that does for me, as far as the reader of the story, it show, and she, so she doesn't say anything to the parents about there being a child. So they're, because she's like, it's too much on his, on her plate. She's really worried that, because at some point Dr. Brenner confronts her and says, you know, we're working on our future. You are our future, our child. Like, he's calling it our child, and she's all freaked out. At one point, the bigwigs of the government show up because they're not convinced that Dr. Brenner's work is worth it. And he has Callie put on a display, but Callie doesn't want to do anything until Terry is there to help her. It was like a weird thing where Terry doesn't do anything, but Callie shows her illusions. She does all this fake fire, and like the big wigs of the government are completely blown away, and they're like, you know, can you make more of them? And he's like, oh, we're working on it. And that's, I think, when Terry realizes everything going on. It was a kind of like a sad thing where she had to go jump through hoops to get to a doctor to go test the pregnancy. And the doctor was completely judging about a girl getting in trouble. It was just different times, you know, different times. A young woman who there's no husband, she's just pregnant. Everyone was judging. It was just, it wasn't like, I mean, I'm sure there are people who still judge things like that, but it was much more out in the open. Like you'd never see a doctor, you know, say these things like now about, well, you need to, you know, I don't know, just the a young girl like you getting in trouble, blah, blah, blah. But she realizes now she's pregnant. And as I said, she wants to tell Andrew, but she doesn't. So there's no dad looking for the baby. There's no in-laws looking for the baby. And her parents are gone. They're not looking for the baby either. There's only her and her sister, Becky. You know, there's this big plan where, oh, my goodness gracious, I've left out Alice's greatest gift of all. She is like, you know, I can see things. It's not quite the same, but I can see things, you know. And they're like, well, why don't we use your powers to see if we can see in the building and see what's going on more and see if we can find more kids, because they're worried about there being kids. Terry at one point broke into Brenner's office and found some paperwork, and it talked about, you know, kids at 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, 8, all the way up to 10. That's right, 10. So at one point they literally, the Alice girl builds a small version of the electroshock machine. They drive out to the woods near the lab so they can be close to the lab. They hook her up and they shock her right there. They give her some acid. They shock her. She goes and she's like she can talk while this is going on. So they're walking her through, and Gloria's taking all these notes so they can figure out everything they can figure out. And at first she's like, I'm flying over the cars, but it's weird because all the cars look different. And now I'm in the lab, and there's typing machines, but there's weird screens and there's plastic things. And that's when it hit me that this girl, Alice, is seeing the future. Remember, she saw this girl before. she saw this girl flinging someone before. Well, she noticed that the girl's tattoo had the number 11 on it. And Alice was like, well, in the paperwork, all I saw was going up to 10. Yeah. This is when I was like, oh my God, it's really bringing everything full circle. So she sees different cars because she's never seen these makes because they haven't been made yet. And the typewriters with the screens and the plastic things, those are discs going in old 80s computers. And it was Gloria who was like, she's a comic book nerd. So she realizes, she kind of estimates or guesses what, that you're seeing the future. That's why there's this 11. You haven't seen this yet. That's why you're seeing cars you haven't seen before that you're seeing into the future. So I thought that was really cool. And she does, I feel like she knows something. She's gone into the future and she's seen some things about them, but she never wants to say. And she's like, at one point towards the end, they want to get out of there. They want to get out of there badly. And Dr. Brenner does not want to let them go, to the point where he gets Alice committed. Now Alice gets committed and they have this plan to break her out. They use, I'm sure I'm missing a lot and I apologize. They use the girl Callie and her illusions to fake Alice's death. They do this whole thing where they get her out because they realize the girl Callie did tell Dr. Brenner, because Callie and Alice were bonding too, I think in the void, but mostly just in their room. And Callie was loving these people because she's always been promised a friend, and finally she has these college kids who are her friends. She tells Dr. Brenner, she tells Papa that she can see the future. And Brenner wasn't going to give up on that. So now he had two people that he really, really cared about. Gloria, they kind of her testing was like for interrogation, I feel like, if I remember correctly. Ken, again, they never saw anything interesting about Ken. But now that Alice can see the future, or they realize that she can see the future and how resourceful that could be, they get paperwork to get her committed, which I was like, is that something that can happen for real? They get her committed. So that's when they go and break her out. So Alice shows, Terry shows up and she's like, I didn't think you'd be here. She's like, whatever. And, she figures out a way to break Alice out. They get Alice on a bus and they send her off to Canada. And Gloria and, Gloria and Ken stay behind. I missed this whole thing where now Terry also researched all these ways to loot, to get lost, like creating go bags and how to disappear and take someone's name. She was basically thinking the only way she's going to get out of the hold of this lab and this scientist is to completely leave her life behind. But she never gets a chance to do that. Now, at one point, the doctor gave her a medication during the escape, and he was like, it'll work later. And it seems like what that medication was going to do was induce labor. Because as the book, towards the end of the book, she realized she's going into labor. She gets into the hospital. She's like in and out of it, but she does hear the baby crying. And then she looks and she sees Dr. Brenner. He's there at the hospital. And when she wakes up later, she's like, where's my baby? Where's Jane? Cause Ken predicted that she'd be a girl and she decided to call her Jane. And it was definitely after someone. Oh, it was named after Jane Goodall. That's right. The scientist. That's who they named baby Jane Ives after. And Becky's like, I'm so sorry, Terry. There were complications and they weren't able to save her. And she's like, I heard her. She's like, you don't understand. I saw him. He took her. He took Jane. And she's like, there's no baby, Terry. I'm sorry. You have to listen to me. And the book ended with her being like, you know, no one will listen to Terry. This is like the final sentences. Her baby was alive, alive. And she would find a way to prove it. That's how the last chapter of the book ended. Then there was an epilogue where we see kind of Dr. Brenner with the baby and a nurse and, you know, like pushing the baby in a carriage and dealing with the baby that, you know, he stole. I mean, it's crazy that the people there working with him allowed this to happen. He's like, you know, okay, wait, let me just read this one line. To underscore who was in charge, he pushed the stroller forward, motioning for the nurse to open the door. She held it, fluttering her fingers at the child, as if the child so young could understand anything except its own biological imperatives. Sleep, eat, defecate, sleep more, eat more, repeat. But someday she would be his crowning achievement. This is how Dr. Brenner saw this kid. This is, you know, in his mind, it was just like, why even, like, this is just a little tiny, you know, blob of life, a little, you know, nothing. Why, you know, someday it's going to be amazing, though. She's going to be my crowning achievement. So he finally, and then he brings the baby in to meet 8. He's like, this is your friend. This is your sister. And this is like, oh my goodness. He goes, this is 11. Never says her name. And she's like, you know, this is your friend 11. That's all you need to know. Oh, he goes, wait, she's like 11. I'm 8. Does that mean there are 9 and 10 and 5 and 6 and more? He's like, look, this is your friend 11. That's all you need to know. She's like, she's too little to be my friend. She'll be bigger someday. Of course I have the book open in front of me right now. It's just like, you see them kind of meeting, which was really cool. And, she's like, we'll be a family. He's like, yes, sort of. The child was his. She should have listened to him when he told her the child was his. Like, I think he would have been like, look, Terry, you could still be part of the child if you just gave me what I wanted. The book ended with, Terry meeting with, her friends one last time. They talked about Alice, who was hidden in Canada. She likes it up there. She's staying up there. And Ken, who started dating a guy who works at the lab. The guy got something for Ken to give to Gloria, and Terry didn't want to take it. And she's like, just look. And I'm going to read, this is the last few sentences of the book. Terry didn't know what to expect, but she took the folder from Gloria and let it fall open on her lap. A photograph tumbled out, black and white. Terry snatched it from the ground. A baby sitting up, maybe about to fall over, round cheeks. And were those Andrew's ears? She had little specks of fluff instead of hair. There was a sheet of paper in the folder, and she skimmed its contents. Project Indigo, subject 11. Intake, infant. Custodian, Dr. Martin Brenner. Potential, extreme. Terry went back to the photo and stared at her daughter. That was her face. Was she smiling? She would smile someday. A tear slipped down Terry's cheek. It's her. She's alive. Jane's alive. She would see her daughter again. No one and nothing could stop her. That was so tragic to read those lines, because you know what happens later, where she is like, you know, like barely, is it invalid? I don't know. She's comatose almost. And it's like, at this point, she's okay. She's not going to the lab anymore. She's okay. But I feel like the stress of losing her daughter, no one believing her. And honestly, the LSD, like the effects that it had on her brain. We don't know about Alice, Gloria, or Ken. Those names I don't think are ever spoken or brought up again. They're just for this book. But I'm sure I've missed out on some things. I'm sure I've got some things incorrect. But I have to say that I really, really enjoyed this even more than I thought I would. Like, I know it's a prequel to the Stranger Things, but I don't even know if I was making the connection that it was going to be like Eleven's origin story in a way. And I didn't quite make that. And it's funny now that you think about it, this is 1970. So Eleven would be 50 years old today. Think about that. Those kids in Stranger Things, 11, they're 50 right now, right? If I did my math correctly, which is older than me. Aha, finally I feel young and vibrant. But I'm positive I've missed out on some things in this book. But again, it's a little different when you're reading a book over months or a month, and you're reading, you know, five pages here and there, five pages there. I think I remembered the main gist of things. Very enjoyable. Like I the more I read it, the more I wanted to read, like, which that's saying something about a book. Sometimes you're in a book, you're like, let me just finish this chapter. Oh, good. The next chapter deals with these characters. I like that. Oh, now we're back to these characters. It never felt that way with this book. It was like, I know where we end up, but I want to see what happens next on that road and how we get there. And, yeah, I thought this did a really good job. And because this is an official Stranger Things novel, I would say this is all in canon. This is all, this is what happened. It's not someone's theory. They hired this writer, this author, to put together the story. And I wonder, did the Duffer brothers give her an outline? Did they give certain beats, boom, 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 and then she got to create everything herself? That's probably what happened, where it's like, we need this to happen. This is kind of what happens. Can you tell that story of what happens? I wonder if they had to approve everything. I don't know. Either way, I really enjoyed this. And I'm looking forward to reading the next novel, which is Darkness on the Edge of Town, which looks like it focuses on Hopper. That's all I know, just based on the cover of the book. But that's not the next thing I'm reading. No, 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 my friends. We started with a comic book. We went to a novel. Next, we're going back to a comic book. We're going back to Volume 2 of the Stranger Things comic book. I bought it as a collector's edition. It's called 6. So this must be all about number 6. So this, I feel like, is going to be a real standalone story. Like, I wonder if 8 is there during this. I wonder if this is happening around the same time as Suspicious Minds. The fact that this is 6, now, I could be wrong, but I assume 6 is exactly what I think it is. 6. So we're in the 60s, and this is, you know, number 6 in the Hawkins Laboratory. Again, I'm just assuming. I have no idea. Maybe, you know, when you go to the deli and you get to a certain point in the tab and it starts over. So like, you could be number 90 and then 10 minutes later, it's number 5. Maybe at some point they reset and this is a new number 6. That doesn't make any sense because the lab is gone. But I really wanted to make that joke. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. And because I'm much quicker reading comic books, thank goodness, you're not going to have to wait a month to hear from me next. So, I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for subscribing. Thank you guys for staying with me. Again, there was that crazy long hiatus where I just dragged my feet for so long. Then I finally got back into it and I started putting the episodes out for each show. And again, those took a while too. But got through, completely caught up. Can't wait for season four. I do see that they started filming again, right? Yes, they're officially filming. So hopefully some normalcy. Hopefully everybody's safe. As much as I love the show, I would prefer everybody safe over let's get the show back on the road. So hopefully everybody's safe. Hopefully all you people are safe. And again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. You know, you can reach out to me, and if you've read this book, tell me what you think. Or, you know, if you love it, if you hate it, the easiest ways to find me are through Twitter. Last time I said my wrong Twitter handle, you know. Now, my Twitter handle is Geek Mentality, @Geek Mentality. You can always find me there. But I said the wrong Twitter handle for the show. The show, I think I called it S Danger Pod or some stupid thing like that. The show's Twitter account is Stranger D Pod. You can always reach me there. You can always reach me at Geek Mentality, or you can email the show. The email address is strangerdanger@fansnotexperts.com. And you can reach out to me and email me like my buddy, Manuel. What's up, Manuel? No, it's funny. The email says it came from Dustin Henderson. I was like, wait, what? What a second. But no, the email came in from a loyal listener named Manuel. And now I'm going to talk like Casey Kasem for you older people out there who know who Casey Kasem is. And Manuel writes, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Hi there. I just wanted to let you know how much I'm enjoying your Stranger Danger podcast. Knowing that there are Stranger Things freaks just like me out there feels awesome. Manuel, if I had a nickel every time somebody called me a freak, I'd be a rich man. Okay, back to the email. Someone on Twitter recommended me to listen to it, and it's been my fave podcast ever since. First of all, that person on Twitter, thank you. And awesome. What a nice thing to say. Just like you have come up with a Stranger Danger book club to make waiting until Stranger Things 4. I can't read. I told you I can't read. Let me try that again. Just like you have come up with this Stranger Danger book club to make wait until Stranger Things 4 shorter, I myself created something too to get through the wait. A Stranger Things digital escape room based on a hypothetical season 4. I thought you might want to check it out and play it. It is a website I, as a fan, made myself. If you feel like playing it, would you mind telling me if you like it or not? I'd really appreciate it. Please keep reviewing Stranger Things books and comic books. I will, I promise. You already convinced me to buy the Other Side comics and the Suspicious Minds book. Thank you and stay safe. Manuel, you stay safe too. Thank you so much. And he mentioned he has it's called the Stranger Things Digital Escape Room. And it is at this address. Ready? The unofficial Stranger Things Digital Escape Room.com. And I'm also going to link to that in my show notes. So if you're looking at this on a podcast, you'll see a link to this in the show notes. I haven't gone through it all the way through yet, but I've gone to the link. I've started it. I've checked it out. It looks really well done. Like, I was like, wow, this looks really good. Like professionally done. It's got the right fonts. It's got sound clips. I mean, I am completely into this. Again, I'm a slow reader, but I want to dig, like, check this out more. It's like you're the buyers are not in Hawkins anymore. It's basically telling a story, a hypothetical story. We got Murray Bauman. He's playing he's got a voice machine, answering machine. There's a letter. And then it says, where should Joyce and Murray meet? And you have to answer it. And it's like, this is kind of cool. So there's all these little questions and clues to get you to the next step in the story. I'm definitely going to dig deeper into this. But again, check it out. The unofficial Stranger Things Digital Escape Room.com. Thank you so much, Manuel, and may the Stranger Things be with you. That didn't make any sense. Folks, You too can have your email read on Stranger Danger and the Stranger Danger Book Club, because while we wait for Stranger Things 4, I'm going to continue reading and continue podcasting about this amazing world that the Duffer Brothers have given us, Stranger Things. But until next time, my friends, beware illiteracy, because reading is fundamental, and you can't spell fundamental without F-U.
Fans, not experts.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.